Hi, I'm Rebecca Gallardo, and I'm the host of Alone in a Room with Invisible People. I'm here with author and teacher Holly Lyle, and today's topic is Alone in a Room with Invisible People. We're going to talk a little bit about who we are and why the podcast is named Alone in a Room with Invisible People. Okay. So, Holly, yeah, go ahead, take it away. Let me know who you are.
Yes, well, okay. First off, I'm Becca's mother. Yes. I'm also a longtime novelist. I've been a pro since 1991. I've got more than 30 novels in print, most of them commercially published. I've gone indie in the last several years. And I love this job. This is the job that I wanted from the time I was 24 years old. It took me a while to get here, but I got here. And then let's go back to Becca.
Well, you also teach courses and everything, too.
Oh, yes, I do. Okay. Along with writing fiction, I also write nonfiction classes, specifically step-by-steps on how I do what I do. And my classes have gotten a lot of people published in their various genres.
Yeah, and they're huge classes, ginormous.
Some of them. I mean, some of them are very, very large.
And how long, when was your first... I guess book or course, or when was the first one that came out?
Oh God. 2006. That was the Create a Character Clinic. And, that I did on spec, with some folks on my blog. They asked me a bunch of questions and I said, well, hey, I could do a class. Do you want me to show you how I do this? And there was a massive yes.
Yeah, resounding yes, please.
Yes. And Create a Character Clinic is still, selling and still out there. And people are still using that to get started. So, but there are a lot of other things now, too.
Yeah. There's a bunch of stuff in there. Other clinics, other courses. Yeah, that's a lot. So I am, as you've already explained, I'm your daughter. So I have grown up pretty much around that creative mindset. And there was, the biggest thing I think I ever learned was that there was nothing that I couldn't do, as long as your thing was you can do anything. You just have to put the work in. And that was something that it takes a little while to really learn, especially when you're a kid, because you don't want to work. But the more you start to apply yourself in different areas, the more you start to see the return. So I think I wrote my first, or tried to write something the first time I was 11 years old. And then I still remember the first time I ever tried to write a romance thing, because that was my big thing. I was 12 or 13. So I have been trying since I was about 13 or 14 to actually write something legitimately, sellable and all that stuff. And I've definitely been lucky, because I've always had your help. So, that makes a big difference. It didn't matter if it was a screenplay, a story, or book. You, me, and my brother, we would all sit around on a couch and we had writers' meetings and everything. So I really, really benefited from this huge, lifestyle of creativity.
So and watching how amazingly well it pays too, clearly.
Oh God. Yeah, that's the other thing that I benefited from was seeing how much of a struggle you had to go through with all of these different publishing companies, with all of these different problems. If there was something that happened with a publishing company, you dealt with it. If there was something negative that went on, you dealt with it. So everything, it was definitely Murphy's Law has definitely had an effect in your life.
Yeah, and I can say this about that. All of the crap that rains down on your head does make very nice fiction.
Yes. Yeah, and I've noticed that I've taken a lot of the crap that I've had to go through and put it into my own work, and you're right, it does. It makes for something that's more compelling. Anyway, I am a writer and an artist. I have sold a bunch of stuff indie. I have two pen names that I work under, and one of them is still paying, a little bit here and there. But I made a promise to my husband to try to get something traditionally published, and it didn't matter to him that this promise was when we first met, basically, and the indie field was significantly different back in 2006, I guess. And that was the first time that you ever published anything indie.
Yeah.
Was that. So, well, except for Mugging the Muse, but that was...
That came later, but that was basically just a compilation of the best hits off of my website.
Oh, I thought Mugging the Muse was earlier, because didn't you have me... You wanted me to draw a little cartoon for it.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but I don't... I think that one was free or was very inexpensive.
That was on booklocker.com, and it was selling for $10 a piece.
Awesome.
But then they required that they changed their terms so that you also had to publish print, and I couldn't afford to publish print, so I pulled it down and made it free.
Oh, well, they're lost. But yeah, so I got to the point where I finally this year just sat down, wrote a book. The book writing was actually incredibly quick. It took me about 19 days, including plotting, to write. At the time, it was about 50,000 words. And then through the revision process using how to revise your novel, I ended up adding a whole bunch more words. So it's about 70,000 at this point. I sent it to you and Matt from mattscontentedits.com. Is that the right website?
Yeah.
I didn't mean to plug him, but that's, you know, I definitely used his services as well. And got it back. And now I am just waiting on a beta reader before I sent it to my bug hunter. So that is who I am. I have never been traditionally published, unlike my mother. I've only been indie published. And I think my entire career, I've made about $4,000 writing fiction, which is not a bad number.
No, that's not a bad number. That's, you know, a lot of folks who are doing this aren't making anything yet.
Yeah.
So our objective with this is to work with both commercial and indie oriented writers and help you find a way to get where you want to go with your career. No matter, we both have indie published. I have commercially published heavily. I have some horror stories to tell.
Yeah, and I'm shooting for a traditional publication in a ever-changing market, a market that is very different than the one that you published in. So we will have different points of views on this. Yeah, let's get to why the podcast is named Alone in a Room with Invisible People.
Yes, because this actually has meaning. It is, believe it or not, the job description. It is what you are doing is you are sitting on your butt in a room alone, and you don't have anything going on. You don't have television or video games or music, or it's just you and your words and the voices of people who don't exist. And your job is to make those people feel real to yourself. If you can make them feel real to yourself, you can make them feel real to anybody. But doing that is a trick. So we're going to show you, over however many episodes we can hold together for this, how to make your invisible people come to life.
And sometimes the episodes might be something small, too. It might just be a small part of... making this easier, because it's the podcast is also just me and my mom doing the same thing we do every Sunday anyway, which is just sit around chatting about, you know, writing. Of course, we won't be talking so much about our lives and our cats like we normally do. but yeah, so this is something that we do all the time anyway. We talk about writing. We're obsessed with, you know, the job. So it's something that we realize that other people might actually find interesting, might benefit from, will benefit from. We, especially with Holly's, you know, many, many years on the subject and her incredible brain in the way that she can, now she's blushing and stuff, but whatever. To me, it's an incredible ability to take things apart. Like when she was younger, she wanted to learn how to knit a sweater. So she took apart the sweater and watched it backwards and learned how to knit. That is the kind of brain that is able to take apart how she does stuff and then put it on paper and teach people. So it's just, I don't see how anybody could not benefit from this. This is just such a fun, great idea. And she came up with the title Alone in a Room with Invisible People, and I was like, immediately, that's it. I did. We still went through the other titles that we thought about for the podcast, but I was like, no, that's got to be the one. It's just it's so true, you know.
I do.
So what we're going to do is we just wanted to let you guys know who we are, you know, a little bit about the podcast, what we're going through.
We should also let them know about the blog.
Oh, yeah.
Which you can get there three different ways. You can get there at aloneinaroomwithinvisiblepeople.com if you want to type it all out. Or alone with invisible people, if you're not into the really long domain name typing, or
it's I've been playing with the pronouncement. I think it's Airwhip. It's like Airwhip. It's AIARWIP.com. Again, that's AIARWIP.com.
I see that one taking people to a lot of places. Yes. They might not want to go.
Just make
so
sure
be very, very yeah. careful how you spell that, folks.
So yeah, so that's we've also got all the social medias. If you were interested, we have a Facebook page. We that would be Alone in a Room with Invisible People. It is also at Airwhip. So you can look that up. It's AIARWIP. And if you want to find us on Instagram, it's the same thing at Airwhip. And you can also type Alone in a Room with Invisible People. We are also on the Twitter. So you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. And you can also email us at Rebecca@AloneWithInvisiblePeople. So if you have any questions
and
or anything.
Mm-hmm. If they have questions, they can post them on our blog.
Yes. Yes, you can post them on our blog. You can also find us on Podbean. So I believe that is... What alone in a room, or is that alone?
It's hollylyle.podbean.com. So that one's a little tougher.
Well, that's not so bad. And Holly Lyle is HollyLyle.com or .podbean.com. So
.podbean.com.
We'll have all this stuff, you know, cleaned up later, but we'll get yeah. in a rhythm with this. But thank you very much for listening, and we hope to see you on the next episode. And if you have any questions or just want to give us a shout out, find us at any of those social medias or email us. And you guys, any last words, Holly?
Nah, seriously. Questions, if you have them, we will take them on and give you both of our perspectives, her as going at it and me as having been there and done that.
Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.